Ooh, I hope everybody's doing well. Welcome to Faith and Fandom Feedback Friday. Faith and Fandom Feedback Good Friday has less alliteration, but happy Good Friday to you all. As we are gathering here, I'm going to get some coffee. We're going to talk about some news, and I'm going to go be a grown up for a little while. Couple things. Couple things we're going to go over this morning, but I hope you're doing well. It is Good Friday. It is March 29th. And kicking off the end of our week, the beginning of my real week, because I don't know. It used to be that my week started on Sundays, or that Sunday was like my Wednesday. I don't know. Either way, weekends were always just work prep. And now I just don't stop working. So we're gonna figure that part out. That part probably needs to change a little bit. But good morning, good Friday. Here we go. Let's jump right into it. If you are a Christian, and not necessarily nerd related on this one, but if you are a Christian of a certain age, meaning you're probably my age or a little younger or a little older, you might remember a band called Cademan's Call. They were one of my favorite bands of all time for a very long season of life. And they've, kind of basically been retired for 14 years. They re-released their original album because it was 25 years old last year. I didn't get any coffee on that. I got too much coffee on that. Wow. But they re-released their original album last year as they re-recorded it Taylor's version style. And one of the Kickstarter goals for that was a sequel to one of their most loved songs, a song called Bus Driver. And it was a Kickstarter goal, but now that that's all been fully fledged and seen and everything, they have released the sequel song. It's called Bus Driver 2. So if you are a Cademan's Call fan, and again, you got to be roughly my age to even know who they were or even know who Cademan was, they released a sequel song to that. So if that floats your boats, you should definitely check that out. This past week, they've announced that Happy Gilmore 2 is in the works. And keep in mind, I try and be very, I don't, I'm not, I don't give you stuff that just pops up on rumor sites because it's really sad slash funny slash annoying to watch people get really excited and then get their feelings hurt because they believe news that's just a rumor Facebook site. So I try and never do that. I try and make sure it's got credible sources before I ever tell you anything. But Happy Gilmore 2 is in the works. The script is being written and the concept is going to be revisited. And the fact that there's actually a real professional golfer now named Happy Gilmore just makes everything a little bit sweeter, a little bit funnier, and just makes me sad that we won't have Bob Barker to be part of it. But I would love to see what news personality or TV show host they get to take its place. It'd be, I mean, Drew Carey's doing that show now. Might be fun to see if Drew Carey would do it. But either way, who would you like to see Happy Gilmore get in a fight with on a golf course? That's a great question to ask. We'll be able to look forward to that somewhere in the near future. Do you ever have that moment or that thing where you see something cool pop up somewhere in the world and you're like, man, I really wish I could go to that, but that's really far away? Well, I felt that way when, Super Mario World opened in Japan and then opened in California, but has yet to open in Orlando. But my feelings got a whole new level of hurt as it's been announced that there is going to be a full Dragon Ball theme park. There's going to be a full Dragon Ball theme park, which is going to be bigger and encompass more ground than Disney's Magic Kingdom. The only beef, and this isn't a beef, it's just it dramatically decreases the likelihood that I'm ever going to see this place. The only beef is that this is going to take place in Saudi Arabia. So the only thing I've seen, anything pop culture wise in a while to take place in Saudi Arabia is WWE's Crown Jewel event. And kudos to them for, going all over the globe. But there's going to be a full Dragon Ball Z theme park with whole worlds. You can check out videos and production designs of everything about this park now. It's going to be opening in Saudi Arabia. So, yep, the world's first Dragon Ball Z theme park. Now, I find it a little bit odd that it's going to be the first Dragon Ball Z theme park. I get it, but it's because Akira Toriyama has passed, maybe, that's being greenlit. But there's Attack on Titan parks and stuff. I just figured we would have got a Dragon Ball Z park first. And to my heart's desire, I would be very sad if Krillin is not the security guard for the whole thing. Because he should be. All right. What else we got? They are officially, air quotes, officially moving forward with Boondock Saints 3. Boondock Saints was the cult classic action slash weirdly religious vengeance vigilante movie that took place in the early 90s. And gave us Norman Reedus as a recognizable face. And because I'm gonna be honest, I only watched The Walking Dead initially for two reasons. One, Frank Darabont was directing season one, who was the guy who did Shawshank Redemption. And I just thought that was a crazy thing to have the guy who directed Shawshank Redemption to be doing a zombie TV show. I then read the books and kind of dove headfirst into it. But, it gave us Norman Reedus as a pseudo household name. And Sean Patrick Flannery, who has done some things but has not really kicked off as hard as Norman Reedus. In fact, Sean Patrick Flannery's last big outing was a Christian horror movie. And I don't remember what it was called, but his last big outing was a Christian horror movie about demon possession. So there's that, but we should be getting a third Boondock Saints movie. This the cat catch slash caveat of all this will be the first one without Troy Duffy, the guy who created the first two. And because All Saints Day, the sequel film, didn't do as well theatrically as they would have hoped, this has been delayed a while, but we should be seeing this in the moderately near future in terms of soonish, like as Aslan said, soon is a funny word. I think I announced this last week, but I'm gonna tell you anyway. Eminem has officially announced he has a new album coming out this year, and Dr. Dre, Eminem, as well as a handful of others, went on the Jimmy Kimmel show for a sketch called Dre's Anatomy, where they were all doctors. And this was kind of a bigger announcement for Eminem's new album. So in his 50s, he's going to be dropping a new album for the first time in a little bit. And it makes me go back to what Andre 3000 said. He's 48. What does he have to rap about? And here's Eminem at 51. Like, hold my bleach blonde dye. So that is coming. Also, in things I didn't expect to really kick off, Steven Spielberg is working on Ready Player Two. Now, I am a huge fan of Ready Player One, like, greatly love Ready Player One. It's one of my favorite adult fiction books of my modern lifetime. I really enjoyed the movie. I was not a really big fan of where the book went for Ready Player Two. And it just kind of like, it took everything that the book kind of left us with a happy ending and just kind of like decimated it. So Steven Spielberg is working on adapting Ready Player Two. Considering of how much he condensed, cut, and shifted the narrative for Ready Player One, we could be looking at a different story, perhaps. But Ready Player Two is officially being worked on by Steven Spielberg to get ready for that. The Chosen season six, jumping ahead two seasons. It was announced in an interview that the Chosen season six will all take place in one day. So, if you're familiar with the story of Jesus, spoilers where his story's going. Season six will all be leading up to the day he dies, to my understanding. It will be his last day from arrest to it'll be his last day until the crucifixion and the end of his life in that capacity. Right on time for Good Friday. But that will be season six, so I'll focus on one day. And on a more sad, serious acknowledgement note, if you, I think you would literally have not been able to have missed this by now, but in Baltimore at the beginning of the week, a cargo ship crashed into a bridge, the Key Bridge, and the bridge collapsed, and there was a loss of life and many injured, and it was just kind of, there's video footage of it out there, and people being people in terms of responses to it and everything. But it was a loss of life, and it was, a lot of hardcore stuff that went down with it. The water was 47 degrees when it went down, so it's a hard scenario to go through, even if you did maintain your life through that process. So if you have opinions about that, take time and pray for the people involved. Pew pew. On a much lighter note, we are getting True Moo is releasing Blue Milk in time for Star Wars Day. And I love that in my lifetime, Star Wars Day has been gone from a joke for nerds, like a pun for nerds, to it's a thing now. It's real. In a similar sense, that's also been how it's been for Five Iron Frenzy Day. It's a much deeper cut, but similar to how it's been for Five Iron Frenzy Day, because in Five Iron Frenzy's last concert, air quotes, on November 22nd, 2003, they were in the middle of between songs, and somebody did something. He says, "Hey, you can't heckle us. It's Five Iron Frenzy Day." And so, because that got put on a live record, real deep cut nerds have been celebrating Five Iron Frenzy Day for the last 21 years. But Star Wars Day is happening, and so True Moo is releasing Blue Milk. Blue Milk is, what they're pouring Star Wars and everything else. But I'll say this too: I don't care how good this is going to be. The Blue Milk that's at what's the Disney park that has all the Star Wars stuff? It's early. Sorry, y'all. Hollywood Studios, yeah. The Star Wars Blue Milk that's like kind of a slushy that is at Hollywood Studios is absolute life. Galaxy's Edge. Thank you, Alicia. It's Galaxy's Edge, but like, is that the right park? Is it Hollywood Studios, for Disney? But the Blue Milk that's at Galaxy's Edge is absolute life-giving. I would compare it to the Butterbeer at Universal in terms of how good it is, but it's a whole different vibe. And I don't want to try this True Blue Milk, True Blue Blue Milk, or True Moo Blue Milk. That's a tongue twister. True Moo Blue. True Moo Blue Milk. Okay. I think you're absolutely right. But I don't want to try the True Moo Blue Milk, because I know how good the stuff at Galaxy's Edge is, and I ain't trying to taint that memory with some blue dyed curdled cow juice. Speaking of interesting expressions of Disney properties. Pirates of the Caribbean is rebooting with all new characters. It was late. I mean, it's been a whole adult lifetime ago when the original Pirates of the Caribbean movie dropped. I was in college age at that point when the first one dropped. And my kids have lived their whole life with Jack Sparrow being a thing, but they've never watched Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm apparently failing. But they're rebooting the whole series, starting over from scratch because it's easier to do that than to try and pull anything else together out of all of this. Meaning with all the actors and everyone involved previously at different stages in life, they're rebooting it. How do you feel about a rebooted Pirates of the Caribbean? Do we need a rebooted Pirates of the Caribbean? We've got One Piece. That's good pirates. I'm enjoying that. They canceled Our Flag Means Death. So maybe they're like, oh, look, a ship went down. We need to put one out there. Either way, there is going to be more Pirates of the Caribbean coming from Disney. Also with more Disney properties slash Marvel properties, we've covered Star Wars, we covered Disney. Now let's jump over to Marvel. An Overwatch killer, as they're kind of dubbing it, is going to be dropped soon. It is going to be the Marvel version of Overwatch, and it's going to feature basically all your characters. I think with the success of Fortnite and seeing Disney properties in a shooting type game, a arena match, they've dove headfirst into it and it looks really good. I am not a big arena PvP pew pew shooter game person. I'm a story game person. But I would have fun playing this Overwatch looking Marvel game. They like one of the videos I saw of it included a Hulk transformation mid-fight. Just looks good. Looks good. If you are not aware, this past week they also released the first new content for Into the Spider-Verse since the last since Across the Spider-Verse. If you are keeping tabs of when things were supposed to have come out, this past week or the week before, we were supposed to have gotten the third and final film in the Spider-Verse trilogy, but due to the actor strike, writer strike, all that jazz, that didn't happen. Michael's excited for it. I'm excited. Listen, if they do platform stuff or whatever, we can pew pew at each other from miles away. I'm happy that we're living in an age where cross pew pew platforming is going to be a thing. But Spider-Verse as an entity released a short film called The Spider Within. You can watch it on YouTube or all the places that you would find videos, but it is a short film showing Miles dealing with anxiety. So new Spider-Verse content kind of released as a hey, we're still out there. Your movie's still coming, but it's a nice little thing to show a superhero dealing with anxiety with that, especially as a teen. And I think it's just nice to see something with Miles again for a minute. Not talking about The Chosen. Netflix is releasing a 3-episode series called Testament, the story of Moses. Because after seeing what Netflix did with Death Note, I definitely want to see what they do with the Bible. I poke at that, but realistically, Netflix has also done good things with One Piece and Avatar and let's but seeing this as like my first thought was like, I'm good. I've got better Jesus TV than this. And I've seen the story of Moses is an easy one to remake because it's in terms of Bible stories, it's covers a lot of ground. I also I'm not saying that it's avoiding at time, but like with everything going on with Israel and Palestine, I don't know it's the best life choice in that capacity, but you do what you got to do. But it is going to be a story of Moses, Pharaoh. You know the story, you know what's going on with it. But they're attempting, and some of the marketing I've seen, that they're attempting to take off the superhero stigma of Moses is one of the phrasings they said. And I don't know who's got superhero stigmas from Moses, because Moses to me was like the epitome of nah, pass. Like, let somebody else do it. You know, I don't want this role. You know, Moses to me, scripturally at least, is the reluctant servant, not the superhero vibe. But Testament is coming, and Netflix's marketing with it also includes the statement, setting in motion some of the most epic events in the Bible, Quran, and the Torah, now playing. So it's there. And you know, I see them trying to be super inclusive, including the Bible, the Quran, and the Torah, because yes, it is a story that's in all three. And you know, like so I said, it's the politically safe-ish way to go if you can tell a Bible story. There we go. With stories that we maybe did want to hear a little bit sooner. This we're past the spoiler date for this, so I'm not. And it's in the advertising everywhere now. Asajj Ventress has returned to the Star Wars universe. The fan favorite, dark counterpart to Ahsoka Tano has returned, is I think a good way to put it. If Star Wars by Filoni and Lucas's concept is all about balance, Ventress Asajj is the balance to Ahsoka Tano. And she has returned in the last week's episode of Bad Batch as a focal character. And she was originally killed off in a novel that was canon, but is now not canon because they want to use her. And Filoni says that we're going to see more of her in the future, in future Star Wars properties. So wherever that's heading, if you enjoyed Asajj Ventress as a character, you should definitely check out the most recent episode of Bad Batch. In fact, you don't technically have to have a bunch of backstory to, you can just watch that episode if you really care about Asajj Ventress, but she is in there if you want to check that out. X-Men 97 has been popping off in terms of viewership and reception. Three episodes deep, they've hit pretty hard. They really kind of stuck the landing, at least in the feeling of the original X-Men animated series. But one just cool statistic is that the original X-Men animated series has increased in viewership 522% since the first trailer for 97 launched in February. So just chew on that. The viewership for the original series, not 97, has increased by 522%. That's a lot of percentages of how many people are actually watching it. I've actually had the thought of revisiting the original 90s cartoon. Time and bandwidth, it's not there for me. Speaking of X-Men, is that a Nightcrawler Bandit crossover? Yes. I think it's technically a Bluey Nightcrawler crossover. This is from an artist named Brian Wingrove. He does his art booth style is called Cartoon Cosplay. So he does if you're listening to this, there's a picture of Bluey dressed as, or like in full Nightcrawler vibe. Yeah. He does cartoon cosplay, so he puts cartoon characters in different cosplay experiences. So that's from Brian Wingrove. He also does Bear Buck comics. This Uncle Iroh is from Brittany Green, who is a comic artist out of Columbus, Georgia. This Blissey doing Cool Fingers is another artist, and I don't remember who they are. 8-bit pixel, something like that. I can look it up. And I got these pieces at Charlotte Comic Con, and then this Narnia piece is from a lady that was across from me at Galaxy Con. And way back here, this is one of my favorites, if I can point to it effectively. I'm looking in the camera trying to, yeah, that way. It's taped to my desk, otherwise I would pull it up a little sooner. That is a Chopper from Star Wars, looking like Chopper from One Piece, because I love it. And Ashley from Fangirling Over Jesus made that. But yeah, speaking of X-Men, you are correct. Yeah, I think it's fun. Yeah, I was trying also to give you like the other half of my desk area, because like over there is action figures that away, and it's what you always see, and this is the other half. This is my bubble. Live here, do the things here. Knuckles, the 6-episode Sonic series. Good morning, Elizabeth. The 6-episode Sonic sequel series, starring Idris Elba. Love me some Idris Elba. Is going to be dropping on April 26th and on Paramount Plus. So if you are a fan of that, you'll be able to check that out. There was a Spiderwick Chronicles season series that was created, and it was supposed to be a Disney Plus property. Disney Plus is selling the entire completed season of the show to Roku and will not air it themselves. They made this whole show, sold it to Roku, and aren't going to air it. Now, I will say this is a favorable outcome to things like what they've done with Coyote versus Acme and Batgirl and things like that, of making whole properties and not releasing them. Cool. Releasing them somewhere else, selling it to someone else, great. But if you're a fan of the Spiderwick Chronicles and you were hoping for a long-lived Disney property, like i.e. what they're planning to do with Percy Jackson, you're going to probably be missing out on that. Yeah. If you are a Tom Holland fan or a theatrical fan, Tom Holland is heading to the stage in West End, like the British Broadway. He's heading to the West End to do Romeo and Juliet, and his Ju he will be Romeo, and his Juliet will be a newcomer to the theatrical acting world. So, might be able to help a name for herself in capacity of being Tom Holland's Juliet. But either way, Tom Holland, Romeo, it's happening, if that matters to you. If you are paying attention to the interwebs and such, Florence Pugh did a walkthrough of part of the set of the Thunderbolts in her full Yelena costume. And she's like, I'm showing you things I can't show you, et cetera, et cetera. Shortly after Yelena or Florence Pugh did the walkthrough of her video, which was promoted by Marvel. Marvel like shared it, so it wasn't like her going off the rails or anything. Marvel added an asterisk to the Thunderbolts title, meaning something's changing with the property or something's changing with the title, but they added an asterisk to the Thunderbolts title. So that's a whole vibe. 21 Pilots, you're gonna hear a lot about them between now and May. 21 Pilots dropped a new single called Next Semester, which has an interesting vibe and thematic elements to it. It also has like the two dudes shirtless for most of the video, which certain people are excited about that. But it's it one of my 21 Pilot friends said that it has early Foo Fighters vibes. Either way, Next Semester has a video out now. They are going to be releasing a video for every song. But on the same note, on 21 Pilots, they launched their world tour dates, and they will be going on a world tour starting moderately shortly for the new album Clancy. And there is one North Carolina date, and I'm going to try and fight all of you to take my youngest daughter to go see that show in North Carolina, because she went to the Trench tour, the Bandido tour, but she was young and all she remembers is the yellow confetti falling, and she desperately wants to go. So I'm gonna try and make that happen. Red versus Blue is releasing a final movie 21 years later. I don't know if you are familiar with Red versus Blue, Rooster Teeth Productions. I remember like downloading Red versus Blue when I was still on dial-up and waiting 9 years for like one video clip of Caboose and Sarge and such to laugh at that. And this was in the Strong Bad era. And Red versus Blue, all these years later, as Rooster Teeth is closing its productions, is releasing a film called Red versus Blue Restoration, and it will be the final product for Red versus Blue. You're hearing me talk about this and you don't know what Red versus Blue is. Red versus Blue was people that made TV episodes on the internet where they just used Halo characters recording their own Xbox gameplay and made a TV show. Yes, Red versus Blue and Strong Bad, taking it all the way back 20 years deep. But they made a whole TV series out of using their Xboxes to record Halo content, or PCs to record Halo content, and they formed a whole network. Like the anime property Ruby, the video game property Ruby came from Red versus Blue, came from Rooster Teeth. They had a whole network, and people making silly Halo videos created a whole network. Bonkers. If on terms of video game properties, Witcher 4 is in production. The video game. It's codenamed Polaris, and they currently have 400 developers working on it. And yeah, I mean, that was a dude, Red versus Blue, or Chris, Red versus Blue, Strong Bad era, that whole time, Charlie the Unicorn, all of that. It was a good time for the internet. It really was. I look back with great fondness. I've never let go of Strong Bad. Like, I've got a whole Strong Bad action figure set up there in front of my Outcast action figures. I've got a sketch cover of Batman Black and White number one, where the creator of Strong Bad drew Strong Bad and Homestar as Batman and the Joker. I love Strong Bad. Tied very heavily to my 2000s version love of Five Iron Frenzy as well. But yeah, back to the Witcher, Polaris. Dropped because they've been dropping remaking The Witcher 3 is almost as much as they've remade Skyrim, but The Witcher 4 is officially in production. I mentioned that there is going to be a video game coming soon called Sandland, which was an RPG from Dragon Ball Z creator Akira Toriyama. There is an 8-episode anime running up to the video game by the same name, Sandland. And you can watch it all on Disney Plus right now. So if you want to see some fresh Akira Toriyama art and storytelling with his recent loss, this would be a good way to do it. And on that same note, it was released just the other day that Akira Toriyama's last idea for the manga for Dragon Ball Super, his last suggestion before he passed, was a simple thing of Piccolo waving goodbye to all the rest of the Z fighters and flying away. If you are familiar with him and his writing, he often equated himself to Piccolo, and it's like he saw what was coming and he drew, and you can see his sketch of it online. He drew Piccolo flying away and waving to everybody. So it's kind of a sweet goodbye. I'm gonna talk hit too politically. You, for y'all that aren't watching this, I'm hesitantly putting up quotes. You know me, I'm not a political person and I don't like dealing with drama. But this is news and I'm gonna share it with you. So, A, don't yell at me. B, don't fight with me. And B, C, don't fight with each other. Just process it and internalize your own feelings. Be nice. Russell Brand, Katy Perry's ex-husband slash comedic actor slash voice actor slash Dr. Nefario from Despicable Me, is pursuing a deeper relationship with God. And these are my air quotes as his thing. And he has been visiting several churches, and he says that he is exploring the desire and the need to be baptized. I'm just putting that out there, that he's publicly putting that out there, that he's pursuing that. He's also facing allegations and charges in, life and horrible life choices. So those are realities. Also on politically charged life choices, I'm gonna say this, and I reiterate all my previous little excerpts there. Be nice, all the things. Trump is releasing a Trump edition Bible. That has the Constitution and some other stuff in it, and it will be the official Trump endorsed version of the Bible. People do this stuff all the time. There's literally a Star Wars themed Bible sitting in my living room that somebody got me. I write nerdy Bible studies. I mean, so I get that you do that, but there's lots and lots of opinions and feelings about this situation. And if you need to form your own for a conversation with other people, I just want you to know that it's happening. So God bless you and your family. Ryan Felipe, in a much less politically charged note, Tristan, yes. Ryan Felipe just did a movie about a missionary family that is threatened with death called Pray. And he said that after making this movie about a threatened missionary story, he's craving a relationship with God and to deepen his spiritual life. But he played a movie about a missionary in the Kahari Deserts. And he says that now, after telling that story, he really is pursuing a relationship with God. I find that pretty cool. There's also a movie that just dropped, and it was only in theaters 2 days, March 20th and 21st. It's called The Ark and the Darkness, and it's a movie for scientific evidence and presentation of the biblical story of the Ark and Noah. So it is a scientific presentation, a scientific movie about why the Ark is a real story and all the evidence and stuff that goes with that. And it was in theaters for 2 days, March 20th and 21st. And the crazy thing is, for just the 2 days that it was in theaters, it hit number three in the box office. So do with that what you will. In the time frame where we're dealing with like Ghostbusters, Afterlife, and everything else, for a little 2 day window, a scrappy little film about the Ark was number three in the box office. Merry Christmas. And that's about it for my news. I don't have much else to share with you. I'm gonna go do a little muggle work, and tonight I'm DJing a prom. Yay! But I want to take a moment to thank our Patreon supporters before we bounce. Just say thank you for being a part of everything. With this, oh, there's new Patreon supporters. Hi, y'all. So I'll introduce y'all soon. But Colin Sproles, Jamie Montgomery, Matthew Coleman, Skip Clark, John Herman, Ron Petit, Tesh Norton, Gearsaber Cosplay, Scott Ward, Alicia Glenn, Candace Davis, Jay Sheed, Jillian, Jason Crutchfield, Mich oh, these are the some of these are. Can I get booth? Okay. I sorry for like stuttering on that. One of our Patreon supporters died. And so if I click the wrong button, her name pops up in the list and I get a little taken back by that. Michelle was a really, really sweet lady. And she loved us to pieces. And she knew like Vincent and us when we were all in one squad. Jason Crutchfield, Mike Perna, Todd Turner, John Jacobs, Zach Harris, Caleb Grimm, Jeanette Skaggs, Chris Poirier, Jason Bullock, Christina Ray, Sarah Lewis, Patrick Gale, Rebecca Godlove, Adam Davis. Thank you all for supporting the way that you do, for helping make all of this possible. And yeah, for just, yeah, you help make all of this possible. And this has been one of those seasons where kind of getting a break from being on the road, but also actually having to look at all the costs of being on the road. So I'm like, great. It's always an encouragement. But hitting the road, like once we get through the middle of May, it's back on the road full tilt. So I just want to say thank you for doing that. Thank you for all for listening. There'll be more content dropping soon. And also, I have an idea for a podcast I want to do. I'm gonna throw this out there that y'all actually listen to this. First, I want to do a podcast called Chef's Kiss, like Chef's Kiss, where I just bring somebody on. You don't have to be like a celebrity or nerd or professional. I bring somebody on to tell me about one perfect thing that they think's perfect, whether it's a perfect song, a perfect album, a perfect movie, a perfect episode of TV. Chuck versus the Push Mix, perfect episode of TV. The episode where Saul and Mike are trapped in the desert and Better Call Saul, perfect episode of TV. What's a perfect thing to you? And I want to hear why you love it and why you think it's perfect. So going to be starting a podcast called Chef's Kiss, where we just talk about things that we enjoy and kind of put into practice the concept of rejoicing with those who rejoice. So razzle dazzle, that's coming. But yeah, I'm a go adult. I hope y'all have a great day and that you have a reflective Good Friday and that you enjoy your Easter as well. God bless y'all. Have a great day. And I'm going to hit the buttons to turn these things off. There we go. And